Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Alexandra Solomon is in our studio. She's a clinical psychologist at the Family Institute at Northwestern University and a professor at Northwestern. I didn't ask her to come in and talk about that, though. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
You recently did write a piece in, what was it, Psychology Today?
Exactly.
About the red zone. That time in a, say, college freshman's career between going to school their freshman year and the first Thanksgiving break. That's the red zone. What's the red zone?
Yeah, data from the Department of Justice indicates that sexual assaults, over half of the sexual assaults that are going to happen on a college campus in a given year, happen between arrival back on campus in August and heading home for Thanksgiving break. So it's called the red zone. It's a time of increased danger for
students. Is it more problematic for underclassmen, or is that for all women?
It is. It looks like the people who are most likely to be at risk of sexual assault are first-year female students.
What's going on?
Well, what's going on is, I mean, the big picture is a pretty broken sexual culture. In terms of, I think perpetrators are aware of the novelty that young women are experiencing on campus. Many are away from home for the first time, experimenting with partying for the first time, use of alcohol is increased, and not having a context of friends that are looking out for each other. So that is why that particular subset of students is at risk. But the larger issue of perpetration is that, you know, that they're sort of that vulnerable population.
Hmm. So describe a typical scenario for me. Is it at a party, she got drunk, it was missed signals by a also drunk and too aggressive boy, or I don't know, what's happening here?
Yeah, I mean, certainly in the vast majority of cases, alcohol is involved, and in the vast majority of cases, the perpetrator is known to the victim.
Would you call those date rapes then?
Yep, acquaintance rape, date rape, and it really speaks to the fact that we're sending our students off to college with really pretty inadequate skills around sexuality.
I'll bet parents out there with a kid and with a young lady in college think, yeah, but my daughter is smarter than that. She knows better. What do you say to them?
Well, and I think oftentimes I think my son is smarter than that as well. You know, that we, I think.
Boy, I'm
often
showing my colors, aren't I?
Well,
shame on me.
No, but it is. But that's the way that our culture, that's the conversation that I'm so excited to change, is our conversation has been to this point limited to teaching our daughters to not get raped. It is time we expand the conversation to talking with all of our kids about sexuality, about how sexual expression can be a really rewarding part of life, that sexual curiosity is normal. These are, you know, we're leaving massive gaps in the conversations we're ready, willing, and able to have with our kids. And so we're sending them all off to school without the skills they need to ask for and receive really positive sexual experiences when they're ready.
But, you know, I am thinking now about that young man. And if I thought that the parents would assume that their kid is ready, the parents of the young man must think there's no way in hell my son is capable of that.
Mm-hmm. And hope, yeah. That's right.
We're visiting with Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She's over at Northwestern University. She wrote a piece in Psychology Today about the red zone, that period of time now until, say, Thanksgiving break, where your college freshman female is most vulnerable. And, hey, parents, what are we telling the young men? So let's just continue that conversation. What do I say to my kids then?
Yeah. Well, a student really put it to me very powerfully. So I teach spring quarter. I teach a relationship skill building class to juniors and seniors at Northwestern University. And we spend a lot of time talking about love and sex and relationship. And a student said to me, a young male student said to me, this conversation that we're having right now in your class about sex is the first time I've ever talked about sex without talking about fear, disease, danger, risk, and sin. So that's one piece I think that's really important, is just families talking about sex and talking about the vulnerability that sex stirs in all of us. I love the idea of fathers talking to their sons about the desires they have, the curiosities they have, and the need for lots of respect, communication, And raising the bar on consent, which we can talk about.
You know, that's a conversation I never had with my father. And as a father, I don't recall addressing any of this comfortably with either of my sons. And certainly the respect element, I always thought my sons are good young gentlemen and they respect women. And I don't need to tell them not to sexually assault a female. I mean, I don't even know how I would have that conversation. How would that go?
Well, I think that the way we used to talk about consent was we would teach no means no. Which basically is this idea that he ought to pursue until he is told firmly and clearly by her to stop. I think we need to have a new conversation about consent, which is about consent being a really exciting and sexy part of sex, that it's sort of two people creating together the kind of experience that they both want to have. And so I think basically the way that parents might translate that message to their son is just make sure you stay attuned to her. Make sure that she's with you and you're with her and that you really are watching the feedback.
You know, the message was usually just don't do it. And God forbid if you do, then use a condom. This is a different kind of dialogue you're imagining for me here.
This is. And I do. That's I think the vast majority. I think parents, yes, they say either don't or at least be safe. Some parents say make sure that she's into it. And I, you know, I'm the parent of two teens. And when my partner or I bring up the conversation of sex, there's a lot of eye rolling and there's a lot of, oh my God, are we really doing this? Are we really having this conversation? But what parents say matters. There actually was some data a couple years ago from Harvard where 70% of 18 to 25 year olds wish their parents had talked to them more about how do you know when somebody likes you? How do you ask somebody on a date? How do you break up with integrity?
I think 100% of parents wish they knew how to do that too. I mean, really, you know, how am I? I'm not good at that. And I think I'll just make things worse if I bring it up. You know, I mean, that's, I think, the mindset of a lot of adults in this scenario.
Too. I agree. So I love that opener. Listen, you guys, I really feel like I might screw this up.
Right.
But this is important. And I think using something like the article I wrote, there are so many great books out there, kind of using a book or a scene from a movie, you can kind of keep your eyes and ears open to different examples that come up in pop culture and kind of asking, like, what does that make you think? And, you know, what kind of messages have we given men and women about sex and sexuality?
Alexander, you so deflate my anxiety about this. You make it sound so easy. And maybe it is. Maybe it's a lot easier than I stress it into being. You know, relax. Be honest. If this is causing you difficulty, own that, share that, and then move forward. But talk a little bit more about the conversation that mothers should have with daughters then, or fathers should have with daughters. How does that go?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a biggie. So the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, recently did a study where they looked at high schools across America and found that half of them teach the 16 topics that the CDC considers to be adequate sex education. So yeah. Our kids have a coin's toss chance that they have received adequate, broad, comprehensive, enough sex education. And the thing that gets left out of basically all sex education is the idea that sex ought to feel good and ought to be respectful. So I think a really important message to give our daughters is to not enter into a sexual experience until and unless you know that your needs, safety, and desires are going to be factored into that experience.
Does the conversation include, though, imploring them or educating them or talking to them about staying away from danger zones like parties without a friend or too much alcohol or a young man who you really don't know, stuff like that?
Absolutely. I think those are really important elements. I think that all of our kids ought to know to be upstanders, you know, to really, like, when you see a shady situation going down, you see one or two people where one or both are too drunk to make really informed choices, to step in, you know, grab one and be like, we're going to go get some burritos. Like, let's get out of here. Like, being willing to, even though it's awkward, to step in a situation like that, to do it and to have each other's backs.
This is party time on campus. Kids are just going back. The fraternities and sororities are stoking it up. The football games are going on. I mean, I can just see how a newbie to that situation could make some mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's why you call it the red zone. Mm-hmm. The article is in Psychology Today. We've got to go, but give me just one other resource. Maybe where should parents click or what should they read to better arm them?
You know who's got wonderful resources is a friend of mine named Mike Domish. He has a program called Can I Kiss You? And he goes around to so many college campuses this time of year and educates them. And his website has a lot of great tools on it.
This is really helpful, and it's been brief. Dr. Alexandra Solomon, clinical psychologist at Northwestern University. Lucky the kids at that school that are in her class. It's nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.